Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
Listening to The Reba Show, homeownership, hear it from the experts in the blue stream of the Fishbowl Radio Network. My name is Leticia Gallegos. I'm president and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. Hosting with me today is
Salvador Villalobos.
Thank you, Sal, for being here. And today we have three special guests with us today. First of all, we have Tracy Fleming. Tracy is the Chief Operating Officer for Providence Title. And with her is Maureen Mo. Can we call you Mo? Riccardi, she's a commercial and residential closer. And Danya Peden, she's a residential closer. So what we're talking about today is title insurance. Everything you should know about title insurance and why. And so we are so excited to have you all. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Thank you.
All right.
Very excited to be part of this.
Yeah, so title insurance is a really important aspect of the closing process of ownership, actually. And so we're glad that you're here. And we have a lot of questions that that we want to ask. And listeners, if you have some questions about title insurance, please email me. RebaShow@RebaConnect.org, and that's spelled H-R-E-B-A, connect, at H-R-E-B-A, I mean, sorry, H-R-E-B-A, show at RebaConnect.org, and we'll be sure to ask our guests your questions today. So we'll take turns. Let's start with you, Tracy.
Okay.
Why don't you answer the question for us of what is title insurance to start off with?
Well, title insurance is a necessary evil, is what I like to say. It's one of those things that was born of necessity. You know, it's a person's largest investment when we buy real estate, typically, especially talking at a consumer level. But you want to make sure that anytime you invest money in something, that you have a reassurance, an insurance, that you will truly own it, and it is truly yours to use for the intents and purposes in which you are buying it. So that's where title insurance comes in. We're going to take the records and search backwards from the point in time you're buying it and make sure that the person selling it to you actually has the authority to do so. And then beyond that, that you can use the property the way you are intending to use it. So in a nutshell, we will ensure that you can do with your possession and your new asset what you choose to do.
So how far back do you research the property, or how far are you required to research the property?
Required to go back 25 years. But oftentimes what we'll find is there's not been a change in the vesting of the title. So a lot of times we have to go back to sovereignty, meaning back to the beginning of ownership rights, to make sure that we are finding the details that we need to find to actually insure the title.
So let's say that I'm buying a property from Joe, and Joe signs the contract and finds the he signs the contract, we close. But we didn't know that his sister, Alicia, was also an owner on that property. What happens at that point? She comes in 5 years later, 7 years later, knocking on the door. What are you doing in my house?
That's an awful feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. That's what we see. So that's what they call the horror stories. Anytime we go to a conference, we get those horror stories of things that have actually happened. And you know, makes me proud of what we actually offer to a consumer. But in that situation, if you had went through the title company to purchase your property, had indeed bought an owner's title policy, you would have coverage. You would be able to make a claim on your policy, and the claims attorneys would take care of making you whole, meaning if they can't rectify the situation and cover what Sister Alicia was due and make Sister Alicia comfortable with moving on down the road, then you could recoup your entire investment in the property.
Oh, that's so fantastic.
It's one of those things that they will fight the battle for you, the legal battle, it's kind of prepaid law, prepaid attorneys, if you will, in that case.
Right.
And they're going to make you whole so that your investment is not compromised.
That's a great That's
all right.
Great.
Yes. Yes. You want that peace of mind. And that's what title insurance gives you, is that peace of mind. So title insurance is an insurance product, right? It's underwritten by
the
Yes. Go ahead.
The Department of Insurance regulates how we do business.
Mm-hmm.
They tell us the procedural rules in which we must follow, and they additionally tell us the rates we must charge. So we have a rule for everything. But just like property and casualty insurance, we are responsible to report to the Department of Insurance.
Mm-hmm. And I want to remind our listeners that here at the Reba Show, every single one of our members and every single one of our guests that we have on the show have an insurance, or not an insurance license, but a license that's comparable to their profession, whether it's a lender, a title escrow officer, a realtor. We all have licenses, so the information that you receive is from a lot of experience, and it's regulated. So, all right. So you mentioned rates, Tracy, or Maureen, can you elaborate on rates? Because sometimes, you know, we don't know how to calculate a rate on an insurance policy. I know that Providence has an excellent app that is, it's really, really great. But can you give us an overview or just an estimate on what we can expect, what a purchaser can expect to pay, not the purchaser, but a seller, or maybe sometimes a purchaser as well, as a title policy premium?
Well, as Tracy said, the state has regulation over the title insurance company. And so all our fees are set by the state. And depending on what you're doing and the sales price, that's where the title premium is figured. So if you had a $200,000 sales price, your title premium, according to the state, is regulated at $1,400 or so.
Okay.
And the everything else is a la carte as far as the attorney doc prep to prepare your documents, your file, the title, your escrow processing fee. Everybody gets that fee confused and thinks we're escrowing funds, but in the state of Texas, our processing fee is called an escrow fee, and each side pays half of that, and each side is around $435 per side. And we have to do a tax certificate. So all these little things, the third-party fees, are added to the title insurance cost that you have to pay for.
Now, in that...
Go ahead. Depending on if you're doing cash, or you're doing a lender policy at the same time, the policy rates will differ, and depending on how many years you purchased and put on a loan to where you did a refinance, those you get discount rates as well, which is set by the state. So it all depends on what time and how long you've done the last loan, and if you're purchasing, everything is off of the sales price.
Now, in that $1,400 that you stated in towards the beginning, now, does that include the owner's title policy and the lender's title policy?
Yes, that's the owner's title insurance policy.
The title insurance. So that, because I know there's a owner's title and then there's a lender's title. What's the difference between both of those? And are they both covered within?
Insuring the owner,
okay.
And the lender for their investment, for coming in with the monies for purchasing, they get the same title insurance product as well, and their fee, if they do it together, is $100. Then but it's the same thing. It's in title insurance protection, one for the owner or the buyer and one for the lender.
I have a great way of explaining that. and it's made it kind of come crystal clear to consumers over the years. And if you allow me, I'd love to indulge you a little bit here.
Please do.
Sure, Tracy, go ahead.
But it was easiest for me to understand the purpose of an owner's title policy and a lender's title policy when someone broke it down in kind of layman's terms. And take, for example, owning a car. If you buy a car and you get an insurance policy, which we all have to have insurance on our cars, if we've got those, a loan on those. So if you get that and you have a total loss of your asset and the insurance company pays off, in that case, the insurance is going to pay your loan first, correct?
Correct.
And if they valued your car at that point in time over and above what you actually owed on your car, then they would give the difference to you. Difference in real estate is, thankfully, it's an asset that appreciates in value, but we give you a face value policy for your sales price for an owner, and then subsequently, simultaneously, we give you a loan policy. Typically, your loan policy is, it is only written for the amount you take out in a loan, which does not usually exceed what you are doing on your owner's policy. So in that case, if you have a total failure of title, back to our original scenario where Alicia pops up and says, hey, why are you in my house? Well, if that happens, first our title insurance would pay off your lender, and then any difference between what the lender's policy was and what they were totally out, so if you'd paid down on the loan too, they wouldn't be out all of the loan.
Right.
So they're going to take care of the lender, make them whole. And then any difference between the lender's policy and the owner's, they would pay directly to you because that's assumed to be what you're out as far as your investment.
And what is a term? Is that for the full life of the loan or for the life as long as you live in that property?
As long as you own the property. So for as long as if you own it in excess of 30 years that you mortgaged it and the lender's completely out of the way, well, now you have an owner's policy, and you would reap the benefit of all of that if something happened.
Now, your beneficiary, say at a given time that something were to happen, passing on or so, does that protection also pass on to their heirs, or do they have to get their own?
The protection moves on to the heirs.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
All right, that's great information. So far, we've receive some really great information. So again, if you have a question for our guests today, listeners, if you want to email RebaShow@RebaConnect.org, we're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation all about title insurance, why it's important and why you need it. We'll be back. Catch you on the other side of the break.
The flip side.
I got a new one for you. I like the way that sounds. I'm about to do it for you. I like to break it down. This joint has got me open. Ooh, that's my favorite song. I put my thing in motion. I do it all night long. My favorite song. I put my thing in motion. I do it.
programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
Hello, you're listening to The Reba Show, Homeownership, Hear It From the Experts, in the Blue Stream of the Fishbowl Radio Network. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Leticia Gallegos. I'm president and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. And with us today, my co-host today is Sal Villalobos, sitting here with me.
Hello, everyone.
And we have three special guests today. Talking about title insurance, we have Tracy Fleming. She's Chief Operating Officer for Providence Title. And we have Mo Riccardi. She's a commercial and residential closer. And Danya Peden. She's a residential closer. So we have a lot of great information for you. If you just tuned in, you've got a lot of information here regarding title policy. So Tracy, another question. Tell us about the endorsements on a title insurance policy, and specifically the one endorsement where it would show maybe a lien on the property. That's really important to know.
I don't know that I'm following necessarily.
I'm sorry, the schedules. Did I call them endorsements?
I was testing my knowledge.
The schedules on the title policy.
Yes. Our title commitment is that just what it says. It's our promise to you. It's our commitment. We're entering into a financial commitment, and we're committing to insure your property. So Schedule A tells you what we're actually going to insure in the way of the amounts of the policy and the property that we plan to insure. But then the next two schedules, Schedule B and Schedule C, are extremely important. Schedule A says what I will insure, but Schedule B says the things that are caveats to that, with the exception of, meaning I'm going to make you aware of some issues that exist on your property, and because I'm making you aware of that, you have the opportunity to review that and make a decision based upon that information, then I'm going to reserve the right against those. So exceptions are going to be if I make you aware of an easement. Well, if I tell you that there's utility easement within these 20 feet, and the utility companies show up and they want to dig up your yard, you can't make a claim on your policy because I told you that existed. Then Schedule C, what you're talking about is the liens here. Schedule C are the things that I say need to be cleared. So before you purchase it, we need to clear up these items, meaning, okay, there's a payoff here, or someone's got some sort of involuntary judgment against them, and that needs to be resolved. So I'm telling you all the things that need to be worked through prior to closing, but I'm also telling you on Schedule B the things that we are going to take exception to within our policy.
Exception to, like, in what manner? What does exception mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for our listeners that I'm not familiar with the word exception in title,
okay.
The definition
exception
of it?
Exception means in the situation where I just mentioned the easements. You know, we may have an easement there. You may have a property that's got deed restrictions. And if deed restrictions tell you, you know, earlier in my statement, I said title insurance was going to ensure that you could use the property the way that you want to. Well, that's why I'm telling you these things may limit the way you can use it, so therefore you need to review these carefully. Restrictions sometimes say, okay, you can't have a storage building higher than this height in this neighborhood, or you can't have animals of certain breeds on this property. And so you need to be careful that I've set those restrictions out. Those will limit the way that you get to use and enjoy that property. You need to make sure you are familiar with those. In addition, you've got the easements of record, utility easements, right-of-way easements. Those are rights that have been afforded to someone else to use your property that you're looking to buy. You need to make sure that you're also okay with them having those rights, because it could limit the way you use and enjoy your property.
What if you're buying a property, you have all the owners, but the you can't find a lien. You know the lien's out there. You have the settlement statement from the previous settlement statement is the document that's given to you at title that shows what was allocated from the transaction to the lender's obligations and to the lenders to third parties, to the seller, to the buyer. But let's say that you can't find a recorded document at, on title, but you know there's one out there. What do you do in that case? I mean, what would the buyer need to present you, or your title or a title company, to make sure that it's being recorded correctly? Or that you're giving, you know, that policy, that commitment to that buyer.
Right. Anything that I become aware of in the course of a transaction and have knowledge of, I have a duty to investigate.
Right.
And so just because I didn't find something in the record that you're making me aware that it is an issue, I'm going to investigate that to the nth degree and do everything I can to find it. You know, there are issues that occur within, we're all human, and including the people at the courthouse, and indexing errors do happen.
Right.
And so we have to take things that are indexed at the courthouse via grantor, grantee name, and buyer and seller names, and then we have to transition those into a title plant that is indexed by property description. So you can see there's a lot of human error that could potentially happen, whether it be at the courthouse or with the indexing at the plant. So there's multiple ways I can go try to find a document and find a lien. And you make me aware of something, I'm absolutely going to go find it.
Okay. Is there any time that you can share over something, an item, a lien?
I can, you know, if you tell me this lien is there, and if it's okay with a lender, I can move it to the exceptions of coverage and insure around things. But again, it depends on the person that's providing the money. You know, if you've
cash
money and that's a risk you're willing to take, okay. But
not
lenders,
the lender.
Not going to be that forgiving.
Not the lender.
I have a story I want to share.
Yay!
My husband and I bought an investment property. And we bought it at the courthouse steps. And I'm pretty diligent. I used to get help from a title company to do the research, but I feel pretty confident now. So I did I did my own searches right on this property, and so everything was cool. I didn't find anything that I knew would be a hindrance. So we bought the property and. So what we do is we buy the property, right? And then we rehab it, and then we finance it, right? So when we went to finance, we needed a title policy. So here we go. Evelyn at your place says there's $500,000 lien, federal IRS lien.
Oh, no.
And I said, "What?" And my husband just totally went white as a sheet. And I said, "Honey, I swear I it's not the same person. It's not the same person." And you know, being Hispanic, there's a lot of names that are very similar.
Maria?
Actually, it was Maria Rodriguez. Anyway, so sure enough,
get title insurance.
Yeah, so needless to say, it was cleared because they were able to compare social security numbers and all that, and so it was not the same person.
So you always need to leave it to the experts.
Yeah.
We know enough to be dangerous in fields that we don't know of or aren't experts in.
Exactly. And for our listening audience, a federal IRS tax lien does not go away, right, ladies?
No, it does not.
The government has their way. Same as tax liens for property taxes.
Yes.
Those are superior to any other lien that you take out on your property. So it's one of those things that, yes, the government gets theirs.
Yes,
for sure. So anyway, I survived that, and so yes, that's definitely a reason to do your title searches before purchases and hire a title insurance or a title company to do the work for you.
Now, when you're buying a property, especially like in a rural area, farm, you're buying the land, you're buying the structure on the land. What if there's mineral rights to that property? Is that a separate title commitment? Is it all in one? Can you give me a little
or a schedule?
Schedule.
There is some endorsements for the mineral rights, and that's a hot topic. It's not in title insurance, but oftentimes in our diligence doing the search, we actually run across records that would indicate who owns those title or those mineral rights. And when we run across those, we do make note of those. However, we don't ensure that you have mineral rights or ensure that these people are the only people with mineral rights, because those things, you have to go on a specific mineral search. They get severed and splintered so many different ways. And it's impossible to chase that back unless you have the expertise and just the time to do the due diligence there.
Now, if I buy you lunch, will you do it for me? I'm just joking.
No, just it'll cost you, Sal.
Good
try.
I'm happy to do that.
Good try.
We do come across parts of those records. And when we can come across it and know that we're within a reasonable amount of doubt that we can identify who owns it, there are some endorsements that you can actually purchase to your policy. And then I would have to pass that to the girls because I am rusty on the endorsements, but there is some that are available in certain situations.
Fantastic.
All right.
Yeah, you have endorsements out there, the T19 series. There is a series set for an owner's policy, and there's a series set for the lender's policy. Again, these are all regulated by the state. And so the purchaser coming in or the buyer has options to purchase these if they want to. It's not mandatory at all. The lender for their investment always seems to want that extra coverage and does get those endorsements to cover the minerals.
And most times the lender's concern over the minerals is not necessarily for royalties or who owns those, but it's more about how they might disturb the collateral and effort to cultivate those minerals. So they want to make sure their collateral is going to remain intact while the cultivation of minerals occurs. So as long as they know that there is a way for them to get to the minerals through lateral drilling and things of that nature, it's not as big a concern. Now, if you go out there and you see a rig and it's within so many feet of a structure, a lender has a bigger concern in that regard.
There's a true story that that happened not too long ago where a gentleman went out and did his own little title search and really didn't do due diligence in finding out what the ordinance was about drilling. So he goes out and buys a piece of property, and he builds this wonderful structure on it. And then comes the city to say, guess what? You're too close to that drill site. It's against our ordinance. And made the gentleman tear down his structure.
No. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so you got to be real careful where you're building when you're out of the city limits and so on. So you've really got to do your due diligence and ask, you know, the city or the town, wherever, what their ordinances are and how far away you can build a structure.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that information.
So, listeners, being a first-time home buyer, you have the help from your real estate agent, from your lender to guide you through all this. So those are the horror stories that happen, but you have to trust your professional to guide you through, and the title company for sure. That's why it's so important. So we're going to take a break in a little bit, but before we do, let me remind you, listeners, that if you haven't registered yet for the 2019 City of Arlington Home Ownership Fair, you need to do it ASAP. It's going to be a great event. Lots of sessions on home buying 101, the obtaining a mortgage. Actually, the home buying 101 starts at 9 o'clock, and this is Saturday, August the 10th is the fair in Arlington, and it's at the Esports Stadium, Arlington and Expo Center, and that's at 1200 Ballpark Way in Arlington. And
it's kid friendly.
Absolutely, there's going to be a lot of activities for the kids. Registration on site starts at 8:30 in the morning that morning, but you want to pre-register. You know why? Because if you pre-register, you get a free lunch.
And I haven't had lunch right now, so that sounds great.
Well, you can pre-register for August 10th and put it on your calendar that your lunch is paid for, Sal. Okay, and then at 10 o'clock, obtaining a mortgage loan. That's another session going on. Credit repair session starts at 11, and then lunch from 12 to 12:40. And then down payment assistance at 1 o'clock. That's a session that's really important to a lot of people. And maintaining your home, energy savings, starts at 2 o'clock. And so it's from, starts at 9 to about 2:45 on Saturday, August 10th. Don't forget to register. And tell them that Reba sent you. On the registration, it asks how you heard about the fair. Tell them that you heard it at the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. Catch you on the other side of the break.
Sitting at home on my sofa, watching my favorite show. PJs, popcorn, and ice cream with no makeup on. My girls dragged me out to a party, I didn't wanna go. I walked in and that's when I saw you, my heart hit the floor. I can hear it, I get shy, and you are the reason why. I can weep, wanna die.
Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
Oh, you're listening to The Reba Show, Homeownership, Hear It From the Experts in the Blue Stream of the Fishbowl Radio Network. My name is Leticia Gallegos, President and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. We're having a great time here today. Co-hosting is Sal Villalobos here
and
with
I'm
me. Hello,
not,
Sal.
Hello, I'm not the CEO. She is.
Okay, so our special guests today are Tracy Fleming, Chief Operating Officer, Providence Title, and she has with her Mo Riccardi. She's a commercial and residential closer. And Dania Peden, she's also a residential closer. So we've had a great time. If you're just tuning in, you've missed some great information, you need to listen to the podcast or go to, we've been streaming live on Facebook, so you can watch the video. If you've missed out, it's been some really, really great, great information.
Yes,
we're talking about title insurance. Everything you should know about it and why it's so important to you if you're purchasing a home or even refinancing, actually. So let's continue with our questions here. So a big topic that is out there right now when it comes to settlement is cybersecurity, wire fraud. Those are words that are everywhere right now. So tell us more about that when it comes to settlement and title.
I'm going to let Dania take this one. She does a lot in our settlement realm, so I'm going to let her take the lead on this question and let her bring you up to speed.
Absolutely.
Well, wire fraud, it's kind of, you know, it's a very scary topic, and everybody kind of, I don't think people really take it very seriously. I don't think consumers don't that much. And then we have consumers that are overprotective, you know, of it, and they're aware of it. So we deal with two different realms of the spectrum. And I think the biggest thing for us is that we've really got to educate the consumer as to why it's so important to protect things. But that ties right into cyber fraud. And the cyber fraud is honestly super scary, obviously, for obvious reasons. But they can pretty much take over your life very quickly with the cyber fraud. But what we're seeing is a lot of real estate agents, of course, that don't have secure emails. You know, as you probably know, most realtors are using Gmails or Yahoo, things like that. And so there's not a lot of protection there. And so we have hackers that are monitoring these emails, so they know exactly when people are closing on houses and things like that. And so what they're doing is they're going in, hacking emails. And while I'm a settlement specialist here, and I'm your escrow officer, and I'm sending you you know, emails about, you know, how to send me your money or things like that, we have them doing the same thing but acting as if they're me. And so they're emailing, you know, your consumer, your client, as a real estate agent. They're taking your buyers and your sellers, and they're sending out emails on my behalf.
Right.
Now, if you were to look at the email, you know, you would probably tell that that wasn't my email. You know, it would probably say Dania@ providencetitle.com, and then they would have three other words behind it. And if you compared it, it's not my email.
Right.
So what they're doing is, this just happened to us, you know, it can happen to anyone, but it recently happened to a consumer of ours that it looked as if it was coming from us, and they asked them to transfer their money for their transaction a few days prior to closing. And they took those wiring instructions that the hacker gave them to the bank. You know, and it doesn't matter, $10,000, $20,000, $100,000,
mm-hmm.
and you give the hacker, you know, the hacker gives the consumer that information, and the next thing you know, your money's gone.
Right.
There's no protection there. So we're really trying to educate people as to look at the email addresses, call and confirm. People get kind of upset with us sometimes that we can't just, you know, email you our wiring instructions anymore. Because if you're emailing us, of course it's secured. We're sending you secure data. It's encrypted. But we don't know what's on the other side of that, and we don't know who's going to get a hold of that. And so we are doing our very best to set up places, our systems in place to protect the consumer from wire fraud.
As lenders, we have the same challenges. We're always told, because if there's any personal confidential information, we need to send it in a secure manner for the same reason.
Correct.
You know, and when you're transferring, like you said, $10,000, $50,000, $100,000, or even $1,000 to closing,
mm-hmm.
once it's gone, it's gone, right? And
absolutely.
And we
it's
get
gone.
That.
You're not getting it back.
Right. There is
and
no.
and so that's the thing. Like I have people sometimes they call and they, you know, they may be upset because we're asking them for information. But, you know, it's like I always say, listen, I'm not trying to be nosy. I'm being thorough. And that being thorough is to protect you. It's to protect your money. It's to protect your identity. So those are all things that we're trying to do to keep everything in place. Just like when the encrypted emails came out, I can't tell you how many people complain about having to create a password and remember that password. And every time they have to access a PDF from us, they have to put in that password.
Right.
People get so mad, but it's really, honestly, at the end of the day, to protect you. So that's just kind of a pretty generic, general description of the wire fraud and how important
it is. I usually take it a step further and say every time you receive anything regarding wiring funds, call the title company, make sure that they're the ones that sent that to you, just to play
Absolutely.
It safe.
And a question to you is what should we as realtors, what do you recommend we, because you know, we hear the cybersecurity, we hear about wire fraud, but I have to confess that I don't bring it up to my clients as much as I should, I guess. So what can we do to help?
Well, I think what you can do to help as far as this realm goes is just to make sure, like you say, you're not mentioning it to your client because it's probably not in the forefront of your mind. You know, it's not something you're thinking of. We're thinking of that. Mm-hmm. But you would think of it when it comes time to close and now your buyer can't purchase that house because their money just got wired somewhere that's on some offshore account and now you're going to miss out on that as well. You know, everybody's affected by that when we lose money that way. And so I think if you look at it to the fact that it's not just protecting them, it's also protecting you, it's protecting everyone involved just to educate and just make sure they know, like he was saying, to communicate that with your buyers and your sellers that, hey, make sure anything that you get from the title company, call and verify that. You know, I know it's an extra phone call, but that's to protect them.
Mm-hmm. I have, there's some additional resources and tools that I could recommend that real estate agents point their consumers to.
Okay.
And that way it's not you trying to perhaps miss something. You know, goodness, there's a whole laundry list of things. I'm not an IT professional, and I would hate to take on the responsibility just like you would of saying, if you do these things, you'll be safe. I can't say that. I'm not an IT professional. But we do have a trade association. It's called the American Land Title Association, ALT.org, I believe is their website. I'll verify that while I'm looking. But if you go to their website, there's a lot of great tools for consumers. And they can watch little video clips and things of that nature that help keep them in the know of what to watch for and make sure that they are doing their own due diligence as a consumer to protect themselves. In addition to ALTA.org, our trade association, they could also go to the CFB website, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's website, and they have a laundry list of things, too, that are available for consumers to look at. And it's not all just related around real estate. It's around credit card schemes, cell phone schemes, anywhere where consumers' financial protection is at risk. And so there's some great information on those two websites.
Okay, so that's CFPB, right?
Yes.
CFPB.org.
Yes, ALTA.org, ALTA.org, and
Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So thank you for that, Tracy, because you're right. You know, it's like the responsibility is huge. And so that's a great, we could even add that to our signature line.
Add those little links there just because it would be heartbreaking to know that I was responsible for leaving a fundamental part out, but I'm not an IT professional and I'm not keeping up to date with everything cyber fraud related, but if I know that these resources are paying close attention, I'm going to point people to those when I can.
Right.
That's wonderful. Okay, so before we let you go, I want you to take us through the process. Take us from contract to close. Give us the scenario.
All the things that happen behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. You mean you don't go on vacation as soon as you get a contract?
No. Just show up with a charming and delightful smile at closing table? No. It is a complicated little web of things, you know, and every transaction is unique, and we have to discern every contract on its individual merits. You know, what is this contract? What is this piece of property? What's going to be necessary for this one? But hitting the highlights, I'll let Mo kind of talk you through the search process and then let Dania accentuate the settlement process for you.
Okay, so we have like 3 minutes.
Okay. So once a contract comes in, there's a process that is called title search. And that search is what we kind of covered a little bit earlier about, you know, how far we have to go back. But that search has to get done. And when it's completed, a title commitment is issued. And that's when we start curing any problems that may be there, communicating with the realtor, saying, you know, did you know that title is invested? Any little surprises that might come up? We see if there's any surprise liens that are coming up. And so we have to go through the curative process to make sure all these little surprises are addressed and we are ready to get you to closing. And to get a title search in, it depending on where it's located, the property, it could take anywhere from 7 to 10 days to come in. And from that point, like I said, we just kind of communicate with the parties on what is found. And while that is going on, the lender, if there is a lender, is doing their processing. So it all comes down at the same time to foreclosing. So that's the very beginning part of what we do when we get a contract in. And Dana, when you talk about processing.
Oh, well, you know, once we do all what Mo was giving you a breakdown of, once that beginning preliminary stage is done, that point kind of transition into, like I said, keeping in contact with the buyers, the sellers, the lenders. We start working the settlement process and we start preparing all the fees that go into closing, you know, checking with the lenders, what are their fees, what are our fees. We balance with them so that way we can get the consumer the correct amount of money to bring to closing. But it's kind of interesting to think about it because between our underwriters and if you have a lender and their underwriters, and all the attorneys and all the surveys, the review and you know, processing the file as far as the title work goes, you probably have about 100 hands that touch that file. And it's kind of interesting to see that they think about how the process goes and how many different people, you know, your file touches. And as far as our underwriting and the underwriting of the lender goes. So once we get all those fees established and we get everything set up, you know, it's just about communicating and making sure everything is set for a smooth transaction, a smooth closing. So setting up closing times with the borrowers and the sellers, that kind of thing, and making sure everybody's on the same page. But like I said, survey review, title work, there's a lot that goes into the file once you have an executed contract that makes it all the way through closing. And then it doesn't stop there. Once we close, there's a post-closing process. You know, we have to issue policies and we have to record the documents. So, you know, some counties we can record with in 24 hours or some that take a few days. But, I mean, it's just a lot of follow-through even after the closing. So even once you're done closing, we're still working. And so that's what I was saying, you know, just the process of the different people that all touch the file. So
that's great. That's just a synopsis of what happens. Not a whole lot of detail, but I know it's a lot of work, and that's not. We didn't even point out the fact that that's so important for you to make the recording of the purchase to actually change title, right? Until it's recorded.
Right.
Yes, and thankfully nowadays we do that electronically, right?
Yep. Most of
the time.
We've got a few in Texas that are not doing electronic recording.
Okay. All right, ladies. Well, thank you so much for taking time from your busy day to be with us. It's the end of the month, which means I know you're busy. Tracy Fleming, Chief Operating Officer at Providence Title, Mo Riccardi, Commercial and Residential Closer, and Dania Peden, Residential Closer. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. All
right. Have a great afternoon.
Bye.
So our listeners, I wanted to also remind you that but the City of Arlington Police has, they're presenting their National Night Out kickoff party.
Nice.
And so that is a free event, and it's happening Saturday, July 27th, which is this coming Saturday, at the George W. Hawkins Library in Arlington, Texas, at 101 South Center Street from 10 to noon. And they're going to have music, raffle for prizes. They're going to have great information about city departments. And you're going to learn more about the National Night Out 2019, which I believe, Sal, that the National Night Out happens in October.
Right.
That's when everybody actually goes in with their neighbors and has a National Night Out. But this is a kickoff event happening this Saturday, July 27th, from 10 a.m. to noon. The Arlington police are putting that on for everyone. So be sure and attend if you can. And so we at the Reba Show are excited to bring you experts on everything to do about homeownership. Hear it from the experts. So we hope that you engage with us, become a fan of this show. And we're streaming live on Facebook. Here at the Reba Show, we bring you information, and we hope that you will engage. And our website is rebaconnect.org. You can also hear this on a podcast on our website, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Reba Show. And let us know if you, by email, rebashow@rebaconnect.org, anything else, any questions that you have. You can learn about topics that we have planned for upcoming shows on our website. And, of course, if you'd like to make a donation to continue our programming, we'll take that, too. You can go to our website, rebaconnect.org, and hit the donate button. So, again, my name is Leticia Gallegos. Did you have something to say, Sal?
Yes, it's actually August 6th is National Night Out Day.
In Texas?
That's what they have out there.
National
Night Out.
Is it August? Okay.
August 6th. Sorry.
All right. So we'll follow up with that to be sure. And so, again, my name is Leticia Gallegos, President and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Sal, for being here.
Thank you.
And everyone have a great afternoon.